Imagine waking up on a Monday morning in Arlington, Texas. You know, the weekend's massive IndyCar Grand Prix is officially over.
Right, the whole town was just packed.
Exactly. But long before the regular commuters hit the road, there's this literal army out there. They're armed with citrus-based chemicals and industrial sweepers.
Ultra-high-pressure washers, too?
Yeah, all of that. They descend on the entertainment district, essentially scrubbing the city streets down to the bare pavement.
Just meticulously erasing thousands of pounds of burnt race rubber.
And temporary track coatings. So, to anyone waking up and grabbing their morning coffee, the city just looks, you know, perfectly normal again.
Like nothing ever happened.
Right. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to look at exactly what goes into creating that illusion of normalcy.
It's a huge undertaking.
It really is.
Yeah.
We're exploring the April 2026 issue of Arlington Today magazine. And we aren't just flipping through this to figure out, like, where to eat this weekend.
No, definitely not.
We are using it as a blueprint to decode how a modern, thriving city actually functions. Because a successful city is really like a swan on a lake.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Right, like to the observer. It's just gliding effortlessly. You see the sports, the concerts, the booming restaurants. But underneath the water, there is this frantic, highly calculated machinery making it all happen.
What's fascinating here is that a community magazine is arguably the perfect primary source to see this machinery in action.
How so?
Well, when you read national business news, you get these massive, abstract macroeconomic trends.
Yeah, stuff that feels completely disconnected from your daily life.
Exactly. But in a local publication like this, you see the exact intersection of macroeconomics, local history, and, you know, individual human stories.
You actually see the nuts and bolts.
Right. The fact that the magazine starts by highlighting the literal chemical cleanup of the streets after the Grand Prix, I mean, that's a perfect metaphor.
It takes an enormous amount of behind-the-scenes effort to maintain that effortless vibe. Okay, let's unpack this, because that effort clearly extends way beyond the street sweepers.
Oh, absolutely.
In this issue, Brent Duran, he's the president and CEO of the Arlington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
The CVB.
Right, the CVB. He writes a community report that basically shatters the idea of a self-sustaining tourism economy.
He's very explicit about it.
He is. He says that tourism does not happen organically. Behind every single convention, every youth tournament, there's a strategic effort to win that business.
They fight for it.
But reading this, my immediate thought was, okay, wait a minute. Doesn't having the Cowboys and the Rangers just automatically fill the hotels?
You would think so, right?
Yeah. I mean, why do they need a sales team responding to RFPs, those massive requests for proposals, if they have literal mega stadiums sitting right there?
It's a totally logical assumption, but it fundamentally misunderstands how city economies work. It's the difference between reliance on headline events versus baseline occupancy.
Headline versus baseline.
Okay. Yeah, so the mega stadiums and the Grand Prix, those are your headline events. They're flashy billboards that draw massive crowds.
Yep, they're temporary.
Exactly. A city cannot survive on game days alone because those stadiums sit empty for the vast majority of the year.
So if you only rely on the Cowboys,
your local economy experiences these violent boom and bust cycles. You can't run a city that way.
So the sales team is out there constantly pitching.
Right. The CVB spends months, sometimes years, pitching and doing highly competitive bidding against rival cities.
Just to fill the gaps.
Yeah, their goal is to fill the slower periods with citywide conventions, youth sports tournaments, corporate meetings.
So they're essentially playing calendar Tetris.
Calendar Tetris, yes, exactly.
Like the stadium is the giant block that drops in a few times a month, but the city survives on the tiny blocks.
The youth cheerleading tournaments, the tech summits.
Filling in all the empty spaces.
Precisely. Those corporate meetings are the actual lifeblood that sustains small businesses.
Like the ones featured in the magazine.
Yeah, like Prince Lebanese Grill or Omana's Landscaping.
Right, because if you're at a tech summit on a random Tuesday,
you have to eat. You're guaranteeing year-round overnight stays and tax revenue. You're keeping the lights on at the local restaurants when it isn't a game day.
It's the business of bustle. You really have to manufacture the momentum.
You do. It doesn't just happen by accident.
But, you know, this highly manicured, strategically planned entertainment district didn't just drop out of the sky.
Far from it.
As you read further into the issue, you realize the roots of this city are a lot wilder and a lot less planned than the CVB might let on today.
Oh, the 150th anniversary section.
Yes. The magazine dedicates a huge portion to celebrating Arlington's 150th anniversary.
And they partnered with the Arlington Historical Society for this, which is great.
Yeah, starting with Knapp Heritage Park, which is this hidden gem right downtown, preserving some of the oldest original buildings.
Gives you a real tangible connection to the past.
And the restoration of the Arlington Heritage Memorial Grounds.
Right, where the 1850s settlers are laid to rest.
But here's where it gets really interesting. In their Recurring Wheels feature.
Oh, this was a great article.
It really was. They showcase Ron Potenza's rare 1938 Cadillac. But they use this car to tell the story of Topo Hill Terrace.
Such a wild piece of history.
It's crazy. For those who don't know, Topo Hill Terrace was a notorious hilltop casino and resort operating right there in Arlington in the 1920s and 30s.
Completely underground.
A massive underground operation drawing wealthy gamblers, celebrities. It even had secret escape tunnels.
So when the Texas Rangers raided the place,
they could hide all the gambling paraphernalia. It was basically the 1920s underground version of today's entertainment district.
it really was the original entertainment hub, just highly illegal.
Right. So I have to ask you, in a magazine focused on corporate growth and family-friendly sports, how does embracing a notorious past help forge a city's modern identity?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about recognizing that cities need narrative depth.
Narrative depth.
Yeah. A city isn't just a corporate business park. Acknowledging the outlaws, the gamblers, alongside the 1850s pioneers.
It gives it a vibe.
It gives the community a distinct, unreplicable soul. It shows a natural evolution.
It's almost like the city is winking and saying, look, we've always been a place where people come for a thrill.
We've just put a much better legal infrastructure around it now.
Right. Going from illegal hilltop casinos to the highly sanctioned Grand Prix.
Exactly. And the Arlington Museum of Art is tying right into that with their Chasing Victory IndyCar exhibition.
So they're directly weaving that thrill-seeking history into the present.
Continually, they're telling residents that this excitement is literally built into the bedrock of the city.
Okay, so we talked about the macro-level survival of a city, the economy, the historical
The
narrative.
big picture stuff.
But for the people actually living there, the ultimate measure of a city is how it protects its residents on a micro
From
level.
the healthcare infrastructure.
Yes. Let's look at the medical technology highlighted in this issue, because it honestly feels like science fiction.
It really does.
There's a feature on Dr. Rich Bevan-Thomas at Urology Partners of North Texas.
The NanoKnife article.
Yeah, he's a urologist and prostate cancer surgeon, and he writes about NanoKnife, or irreversible electroporation.
Which is a genuinely massive leap in cellular biology.
Explain how it works, because normally prostate cancer treatments rely on extreme temperature, right?
Right. Traditionally, you're either destroying the cancer's tissue by burning it with heat or you're freezing it.
Which sounds incredibly harsh.
It is, but NanoKnife uses short electrical pulses to basically punch microscopic openings in the cancer cell membranes.
And that causes cell death without any heat or freezing at all.
Exactly. It breaks the cell's internal balance, causing it to die from the inside out.
Wow.
It's an outpatient MRI-guided focal therapy. Usually it takes under an hour.
And because there's no thermal damage, it preserves normal tissue.
Right. Yes. It preserves the delicate nerve bundles and muscles, which protects vital functions like urinary and erectile function.
Okay, so if traditional treatments are like a carpet bomb, the NanoKnife is basically a sniper.
That is a perfect analogy.
But here's my question. If this NanoKnife thing is so precise and has fewer side effects, why isn't this just the standard for everyone? Why do they say patient selection is everything?
This raises an important question about how we, as medical consumers, view new technology.
Because we always want the newest shiny thing.
Exactly. We want a magic bullet. But Dr. Bevan-Thomas is stressing that true medical advancement is about having a wider array of tools and the wisdom to know when not to use the newest gadget.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all cure.
Not at all. NanoKnife is incredibly effective, but it is specifically for men with localized prostate cancer confined to one clear area.
And if it's not clearly localized.
Then traditional surgery, radiation, or even just active surveillance might offer much better long-term outcome.
Active surveillance meaning just watching it closely.
Right. The precision isn't just in the electrical pulse. The true precision is in the diagnosis.
It really requires a doctor to know you as an individual.
Absolutely.
And you actually see this theme of highly customized, bespoke care echoed everywhere else in the magazine.
Oh, definitely. Like with women's health services?
Yes. They've grown to become Tarrant County's largest all-female OBGYN practice.
With doctors like Carter, Nangrani, and Puffer.
Right. And their entire model is focused on the unique, individualized experiences of expectant mothers.
building deep personal trust rather than just running a clinical assembly line.
And then you have Texas Health Arlington Memorial, focusing heavily on customized joint care plans.
It's not just a standard knee replacement anymore.
No, it's a surgical and rehab plan based on your specific daily lifestyle.
It's a fascinating parallel to the economic strategy we discussed earlier.
How so?
Well, whether it's the tourism board targeting a specific corporate conference to fill a specific hotel, or a surgeon using an MRI to deliver a targeted electrical pulse.
The underlying theme is targeted precision.
Exactly. Moving away from broad stroke solutions to highly specific interventions.
Okay, so what does this all mean?
That's the big question.
We have a thriving economy, we have a preserved history, and we have cutting-edge healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
What is the ultimate output of all this infrastructure?
A vibrant local culture. Human flourishing.
Right. All of that underlying machinery exists to create a space where life actually happens.
And you see the results of that space everywhere in this issue.
Like the profile on Kendra Remedios?
Oh, her story is incredible.
She's an Arlington native gaining massive national attention on the TV show The Voice.
Transitioning from small North Texas stages all the way to Nashville.
But think about those small stages she started on. They exist because of the downtown Arlington Renaissance.
The growth there is just staggering.
The magazine notes they've grown from just 12 gathering spots a decade ago to more than 50 today.
And it's not just small pubs. Look at the Levitt Pavilion.
Launching its 2026 free concert season under executive director Latasha Teichel.
They are celebrating over 650 free concerts.
That is a massive amount of accessible culture injected directly into the community.
Anyone can walk up, put down a lawn chair, and experience live music.
And just down the street, the Arlington Music Hall is bringing in huge, diverse acts.
Tributes to Chicago and Elton John.
Easton Corbin, and the Little River Band's 50th anniversary tour.
Plus, the community actively honors its leaders who make this whole ecosystem work.
Right. The Arlington Silver Eagle Award dinner at the Sanford House.
Honoring Matthew Lowe.
President of Aqua Management LLC. And the proceeds go to benefit local Scouting America programs.
It's a deeply interconnected loop. The leaders support the youth, the city supports the venues support the artists.
But let me ask you a chicken or the egg question.
Okay, lay it on me.
Do you think this explosion of arts, 50 new restaurants, and local music is the result of that deliberate economic planning we talked about at the start? Or is the culture the catalyst that brings the money in?
I think the evidence here points to a symbiotic loop. You really cannot have one without the other.
So they feed each other?
Exactly. The CVB brings in the initial external revenue, which provides the baseline stability for an entrepreneur to open a restaurant.
Or a venue to keep its doors open.
Right. That creates the physical stages for artists like Kendra Remedios.
Which creates a vibrant street life.
And then, once that culture is thriving, the city becomes an organic destination, which the CVB can then pitch to the rest of the world.
The strategic planning builds the stage, but the local culture is what actually makes people want to buy a ticket.
It's the ultimate feedback loop.
It really is, and it all hides in plain sight. We started this deep dive by looking at how normal a city looks on a Monday morning.
Just grabbing a coffee, walking down the street.
But just flipping through this single April 2026 issue of Arlington Today reveals all these hidden layers.
The street sweepers are racing the Indy cars.
The ghosts of the 1920s gamblers at Topo Hill Terrace.
The microscopic electrical pulses of the nano knife.
And the music echoing out of the Levitt Pavilion. It is a massive, beautifully coordinated machine.
Before we go, consider this. Next time you walk down the main street of your own city or town, look past the storefronts. Ask yourself what invisible engines, what unseen tourism pitches, forgotten local histories, and behind-the-scenes leaders are currently operating right beneath your feet to make your Tuesday afternoon possible.
That is a fascinating question to leave you with. Thank you for joining us as we decoded the blueprint of a modern city. Keep your curiosity sharp, and we'll catch you next time.